This week's Sedra, Parshas Naso, is sponsored by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lili Nishmas Yaakov, Yitzhak, Rav Chaim. Towards the end of the Sedra, we have the Karbonos that are brought by the Nisim, L'Chanukah Samizbeach, and on the second day, we have the Nasi of Yisachar. So it says, "Bayom Hasheni Kriv Nesanel Ben Suar Nasi Yisachar." So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh makes a very interesting ha'ara over here, that by the other Nasiim, we find first it being mentioned that they're the Nasi, mentioning their title, and afterwards their name. For example, let's take the next day, Bayom HaShlishi, on the third day, Nasi, the Nasi of his Vilun was Eliyav ben Chelon. So first we mention he's the Nasi of the Vilun, and then his name, Eliyav ben Chelon. We find this by all the Nasim, except for the here, by the second day, we have first the name being mentioned, he kriv Nisanel ben Suar, the name, and only afterwards that he's Nasi Yisachar. So the Or HaChaim questions, why is this the case? What's special about Yisachar? So he says that the Torah is hinting to the fact that since the Nasi of Yisachar was represented, of course, the tribe of Yisachar, and the tribe of Yisachar was known for their greatness in Torah. The famous Yisachar Zavulun agreement. Yisachar was their greatness in Torah was made them special, and therefore the Torah is hinting that they didn't need a Maila. They didn't need a Torah, a description. They didn't have to be called. They were the Nasiya. They themselves, since they represented the Torah, enough of a greatness in and of itself. You don't have to be called the Nasi, and therefore Nisanel ben Suar. This is name. That's all we need. That's chashiv in its own because of the mile of the Torah. And only afterwards we mention that he's the Nasi. Whereas the other tribes, first to give them their chashivas, they have to first mention that they're the Nasi. The lashon of the Or HaChaim is asoslo geder hamaila gam below chashivas hanasiyas. In other words, they have the tremendous mile Yisachar because of the Torah without the need of being the Nasi. There's a remez, in fact, also, how is Yisachar, in this case, the Nasi of Yisachar, how he was Kona, acquired this Maila of the Torah. His name is what? Nisanel ben Tsuar. Nisanel can be broken up into Nasan Kel, that Hashem gave. This is referring to what? The Torah. As it says, Ki lechach tov, nasati lechem. Hashem gave us the Torah, Nisan Kale. But how is Nisanel, how does he have the greatness of the Torah? With what? How is he coned this Torah? It's only after Ben Suar, Lashon Tsar, that only through tremendous amount of effort, Tsar and Yisurin, only in that way is he coned this Torah, this Milo of the Torah. Agav, I saw recently a nice word from Rav Yitzchak Alchanan, the Rav of Kovna. Since we're just past Shavuos, the Chazal tell us that in Shemayim, the Malachim, they weren't interested in letting us have the Torah. They said to Kosh Baruch Hu, why shouldn't the men have the Torah? People have the Torah. We want the Torah up here. We want to keep the Torah in Shemayim. So he explains, what was their taina based on? He says their taina was based on the laws of Bar Mitzra. Right? There's a halacha that if a person wants to sell his field, he has to give first rights to a neighboring field. If there's somebody else owns the field next to his, he has to give him first rights to buy it. He can't just offer to anybody to sell. He has to sell it to the person next door. If he doesn't want it, then he can put it up for grabs. But he has to first offer to the person next door, so that he can, if he wants, enlarge his own field, etc. So that's the laws of Bar Mitzra. So the Malachim are saying, look, we're a Bar Mitzra to the Torah. The Torah is up here right now in Shemayim. You haven't given it yet. We're up here in Shemayim. We're the neighbors of the Torah. So we have a right to it. Leave it by us. So what was Hashem's answer? No, Hashem has told them, "Ki lechtach tov natsati lachem." I'm going to give the Torah to Bnei Israel as a gift. And the halacha is that the halas of Bar Mitzvah doesn't apply when it comes to giving a present. If I'm selling my field, then I have to sell it to the give first option to the person next to it to sell it to him. But if I'm giving it away as a present, then it doesn't apply. I can give it to whoever I want to. Laws of Bar Mitzvah don't apply. So if Rosh Hashem is saying, I'm giving the Torah to me, I'm not charging them for it, I'm not selling it to them. Since I'm giving it, I'm giving it, therefore, I know that laws of Bar Mitzvah don't apply, and therefore I can give it to the Bnei Yisrael, and even though you're the Bar Mitzvah, said he told the Malachi. So we see from this, Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that although Yisachar had the tremendous mile of Torah, it was only they only acquired it through Ben Suar, through their tremendous Amal and Yegia in learning the Torah. So there's many Maisim told about the various Gedolim in our past who were Amal in Torah. Just to share a few stories with you. One mentioned about the Chazon Ish. Once the Chazon Ish's family, they were in the house, and Chazon Ish was in his room learning. All of a sudden, they heard like a big thump, and they like somebody fell down. And they got very nervous, scared. So they knocked on the door, there was no answer. So they went in, and sure enough, the Chazon Ish was lying there on the floor. Obviously, he had fallen down. So they rushed over to him and said, "Are you okay?" or whatever. He goes, "Yeah, I'm fine." He says, so what happened? You tripped and that? He says, No. He says, "You don't understand." He says, I always learn until I have no more koach anymore. And then I collapse on my bed. So this time, though, I was learning till my last little bit of strength that I had. And I'd made the calculation how much, you know, how long it'll take me to get to my bed over here, a couple of meters, and collapse on it. And usually I judge okay, and I collapse exactly at the right moment on my bed. But this time, I misjudged, and I collapsed a little bit earlier. So I misjudged, and when I should stop my learning and go to sleep. Similarly, once they found him sleeping on his bed, and the pillow was next to him on the floor. So so they asked him, "What are you doing? If you're already sleeping, why don't you pick up the pillow and put it under your head?" So he looked at them in astonishment. He says, "Well," he said, "if I had enough koach to pick up the pillow, I wouldn't have. I'd be still learning." There's another famous story. Once Rav Shach Zatzal, when he was in Yerushalayim, he was visiting the Brisker Rav, and he had a very big kasha on the Gemara, whatever. And he went to the Brisker Rav's house, and he told over his kasha. So the Brisker Rav said, "Wow, it's an amazing kasha," and he was thinking of an answer, and he didn't have an answer offhand. And Rav Shach also, you know, didn't have an answer, and they're discussing this, that, they couldn't come up with an answer. So Rav Shach said, "Okay, we'll have to think about it." And he left. So Rav Shach went to where he was staying, and the Brisker Rav was involved to trying to find the answer to this question. It was Amal in the sugya. All of a sudden, it was like your middle of the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And he calls over his son, and he says, "Oh," he goes, "I have the answer. Go to Rav Elazar, Rav Shach, and I want you to go to where he's staying and tell him the answer." So his son said, "But Abba, I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the morning." He says, "How can I go over there? You know, I don't wake him up. You know, it's like he's sleeping. I mean, it is after all in the middle of the night." So the Brisker said to his son, "You have nothing to worry about." He says, "Why?" He says, "I'm sure he's not sleeping, because I'm sure he's still trying to think of the answer, and he's not going to go to sleep before he gets the answer. Trust me." So the son said, well, okay, I understand, maybe that's true. He was not going to go to sleep before he gets the answer. Maybe he already got the answer and then he went to sleep. So he says, that also can't be. Why? He says, because if he got the answer, he would surely come over here to tell me the answer. So once the Avreich had a Shaila, and a very important Shaila, and he decided to go to the Chibin Rav for psak, for an answer. So he went to the Rav, and it was in the morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning. So he figured, after the Rav probably davens an eighth minyan and comes home, so he figured probably about 7 o'clock would be a good time to approach him with the question. So he goes over to his house and knocks on the door, whatever, and he doesn't hear an answer. So he quietly, opens up the door, whatever, peeks inside, and he sees the Chibin Rav is by his desk with all of this farm, piled up around him, whatever, and he's learning. So he figured, okay, I'll go in and, try to ask him the question. So he approaches him, whatever, and the Rav didn't notice him. He was so involved in his learning. So he stood there a little bit, still nothing, no response. So he walks over to him, sits down next to the Rav, and still the Rav didn't take notice. So he tapped him, on his hand or whatever. So finally, to get his attention, the Rav then lifted up his head and he goes, "Oh, well, what are you doing here?" So Yevrach says, "Oh, Rebbe, I have an important shaila. I want to ask you, whatever." So he looks at the Avreich, and he says to him, "But I don't understand." He says, "Why would you come to me, at midnight, to ask me a shaila? I mean, isn't it, you know, I'm an older man and everything. Didn't you think maybe I'd be sleeping at this hour? It's after all midnight. And why would you come now to ask me the shaila?" She says, "Rebbe, it's not midnight." He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "It's 7 o'clock in the morning." She says, "What? 7 o'clock in the morning?" He couldn't believe it. What happened? He sat down to learn. It was around 11 o'clock or whatever, and he thought, "Oh, what? Okay, an hour went by. It was around 12. He didn't realize he was so sick in his learning. They didn't realize. They say time flies when you're having fun. He was so involved, he didn't realize it was already 7 o'clock in the morning. You better hurry up to the next minute." Reminds me of along the same lines, the Maral Miprag. He uses this idea to explain the portion in the Haggadah. It says when we have the Tanaim, they were Mesubim B'Mineibrak, and they were Osek in the Yitzias Mitzrayim the whole night until the morning time, until the Talmidim came and said, "Rabbi Seinu, Igiyaz Man Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis." So everybody asks, what's very cute little story? What's this doing in the Haggadah? What's this coming to teach us? Must be a lesson here. So the Maral says that it's coming to answer Akasha. See, because these were supposed to be Osik in fact, in Tzias Mitzrayim the whole night. However, one has to remember this is Yom Tov, right? Pesach Nais, Leil Pesach is Yom Tov. And one's not allowed to cause oneself tsar on Yom Tov. So how can you stay up the whole night learning? It's a tsar. And there's an simchas Yom Tov. You have to be happy on Yom Tov. You can't be bitzar on Yom Tov. So how could these Tanayim be awake all night saying it's Yitzhak Mitzrayim? So answers the Maral, that's what the answer to that is, what the Talmidim said. Talmidim came and said, "Rabbi Seinu, give my kriyat shema shel shacharis." He said, it's time to daven shacharis. Meaning they were so involved in their learning, they didn't even feel the time go by. It wasn't a tsar for them. They didn't even realize there was already shacharis. They didn't mind kriyat shema shel shacharis. It's like we found by the Chibin Rav. There's a beautiful maisa with Rav Shimon Sofer. There's a Rav in Krakow. There's once a boy that was very ill, and the doctors didn't know what they're going to do. It was very late, in the middle of the night, and the father was beside himself. What's going to be with my son? He's very sick, and he needed an answer. So he went out into the street just to get some fresh air and whatever, and he saw the light in Rav Shimon, the Rav, Rav Shimon Sofer, his house was still burning. So he said, "Oh, the Rav's awake. I don't believe it. I'll go to the Rav. You know, are you going to help me? Give me a bracha, whatever." So he goes up to the Rav, knocks on the door, come in. So he says, "Rebbe, you know, my son's very sick and he needs a Yeshua. You know, what should I do? Whatever." So Shimon says to the father, "Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll help you out." And he takes off his scarf that he was wearing, and he hands it to the father, and he says, "Take this scarf of mine. I'm willing to give it to you, and put it on your son, and you know, put it on him, and Bezrat Hashem, he'll get better." He says, "But I'm only willing to give you my scarf under two conditions. One, that you promise to bring it right back to me in the morning. And secondly, that you don't tell anybody about what went on here." So the father's, "Okay, no problem." He takes the scarf, he runs back home, he puts it on his son, and lo and behold, all of a sudden the color goes back into his son's face, and he starts looking out, and he starts, okay, he got better. Miracle. So, as promised, next day, the father comes back with the scarf, brings it to the Rebbe, says, "Rebbe, miracles. She says, "First of all, it's no miracle." He says, "How did it work?" He said, "This scarf was full of my sweat that from my Asik and Torah. I wear this scarf around my neck when I'm learning, and the all the sweat from the learning of the Torah went into the scarf, and it was that sweat of the Torah which worked wonders on your son." So the father said, "Wow." He said, "But tell me, what was the reason behind these two conditions that you made?" So he said, "I'll tell you. First of all, I said that you must bring me back the scarf the next day. Why?" So he said, "Because I'm very poor. I don't have anything. I don't have money for heat or whatever. And I rely on this scarf to, it's the only thing I have to keep me warm. So that's why it was very important that you bring it back to me. Secondly, you wanted to know why I told you not to tell anybody what happened." He says, "Because I'm a very busy man. I'm the Rav of the city. People constantly, the whole day long, they're knocking on my door, this problem, that child, or this eitz, or whatever. And the whole day I'm busy with people, I don't have time to learn. So my only time to learn is at night. Because people, at least they think I'm sleeping. But while everybody thinks I'm sleeping, that gives me a chance to learn. So if you're going to go telling everybody that you knocked on my door at 3 o'clock in the morning and I was up, I was learning, so then people are going to come to me all night and I'll never have any time to learn. So that's why I made sure that you told people that didn't tell anybody what happened." This reminds me of a similar story with Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka, but he was also the Rav of the city, Slobodka. And he had a similar problem that we saw by Rav Shimon Sofer, that he was very well known and very looked up to. People came to him with struggles about everything. And as a result, since he was the Rav of the city, people were constantly knocking on his door. And he said, what's going to be with my learning? I constantly have to answer shilas, this and that. I need time to learn. So he decided he was going to take a Kabbalah on himself, that he's going to, no matter what, learn at least 7 Daf Gemara a day. Which all those of you who are involved with Daf Yomi know how hard it is to learn 1 Daf a day. But he, 7 Daf a day, make sure he did that, and then for he can at least every day retire knowing that besides the questions he answered, at least he put himself a good day of learning of at least 7 blah. Okay, so things were going well until one day, for some reason, things got out of hand, and there were like hundreds of people waiting in line to get into him for Shilas, Seitzes, etc. And he saw this huge line of people, and he thought, "What's going to be today? What's going to be with my 7 blah?" So he dove into Hashem. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, please, you know, I made a Kabbalah that learned seven blood a day, and what's going to be? Look at all these people. How am I going to do it? As he's davening, there's a bang on the door, knocking on the door. So he opens the door, and there are two policemen there. And they said, is this Mishpachat Epstein? And he says, yeah. He says, okay, you're a Moshe Mordechai. He says, yeah. He says, okay, you're under arrest. Under arrest, what's going on? He goes, no questions, you're coming with us. So they grabbed him and to take him to the police station. So as he was leaving the house, he quickly grabbed his Gemara with him, and they took him. So they took him to the police station, and they told him there that he was arrested for because he was suspected of being a spy. And it was just, of course, totally ridiculous. And, you know, he said, I'm not a spy. I don't know what you're talking about, whatever. So they said, no, you know, we have information that you're spying and you're in big trouble because the penalty for that is death. And but he wasn't concerned. He knew, besides that he was innocent, he knew that Kol Mina Shamayim and everything will work out okay. So they threw him in a cell. And he's like, oh, how do you like that? Perfect. Mina Shamayim gives me an opportunity to do my seven blot. So as we said, he took his Gemara with him, and he was sitting there learning, and he completed a seven blot. So as he was finishing, he realized that probably this was an answer to his tefillah. He had davened, how is he going to learn with all these people there? So he figured this is probably a sent from Shemayim to answer his tefillah. So he finishes their learning. Eventually, they open the cell and they said, okay, you can go home. He said, well, what happened? So they said that we apologize, there was a mistake. We sent out these policemen to get this person and from Mishpachat Eckstein, and you're Epstein. So they mixed up with the Kuf and the Pei, you know. They went to Epstein instead of Eckstein, and they arrested the wrong person. So you're free to go. Here he saw that Mamish was clear that this was all Mina Shamayim, so that he could continue his Amelus Bator. And this topic of Ritzon Yer of Yasa, as we see from here, how Hashem listens to the tefillahs and the desires of the gedolim. Agav, I recently saw a beautiful vort from Rav Nissen Yagen on this pasuk: Ritzon Yerav Yasa Ves Shavasam Yishma Vios Shiem, as we say in Ashrei. So he asks two questions. First of all, he says, seems to be a stira. In the beginning of the pasuk says, Ritzon Yerav Yasa, Hashem does the Ratzon of the Tzadik. Meaning, before he even does anything, just as what he desires, already Hashem takes care of. If so, so what's the crying out that Hashem hears and delivers him? As Shavasam is crying, he hears and delivers, he delivers their tefillahs. How does it ever come that they're crying out? Hashem already did their ratzon when it was just in the stage of a ratzon, of a desire. And secondly, why the change in the lashon when it comes to the ratzon, it says, Yas, Hashem does. And when it comes to the listening to their cries, it says, V'yishma v'yoshiyim, lashon Yeshua, that he saves them, delivers them. So he says one question answers the other. And he says, you know, sometimes a person will have a ratzon, he wants something, and he davens for it. And he has a reason for it. He gives an example, somebody, let's say, wants a car. He says, I really want a car. Why? Because his ratzon is to get to Kol a long time. So he figured if he had a car, he could make sure he gets every day to Kol a long time. So he has a ratzon, and he desires to have the car, so he davens for the car. However, sometimes Hashem knows that car is not good for this person. And if he would have the car that he's davening for, he would get into a car accident, he'd be killed or whatever, and so it would be the worst thing for him to have the car. But Hashem still wants him to get the Kol a long time. So therefore, Ritzon Yiriyav Yasa, Hashem does the Ratzon. In this case, the Ratzon is to get the kolal on time. Hashem gives the person his Ratzon. He wants to get the kolal on time? Fine, you'll get the kolal on time. That's what you want. But how you're to get the kolal on time? You want a car because of that? No. That I'm not going to give you. Veshavasam, what they're crying out for, in this case, let's say the car, Yishma v'yoshim, he's going to listen, but he's not going to give it to him. He's going to save them. Yoshim, he's going to save them from giving him the car. Because Hashem knows that it's actually the worst thing for him if he would have the actual car. So he gives them the ratzon without giving them the thing that they're asking for. One last maisa along these lines as well. That Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita was asked about there was once a gaon that he was ill, and the doctor said that he needs to take glycerin in order to help his matzav. So there's various halachic shilas about the kashrus of glycerin, and his family had a dilemma. Why? Because they said, if we tell him, you know, take this glycerin, he's not going to take it because of the problems with the kashrus. However, he really needs it for his health. So should we hide it from him and, you know, crush it up, whatever, put it in his food so he doesn't realize he's eating it? Because if we tell him, he's not going to take it. Or should we tell him and leave it up to him, which means he probably is not going to eat it? So, interesting shaila. Rav Zilberstein answered with a maisa, shahaya, with Rav Yisr Zalman Meltzer. Once, when he was older, he fell. And he hurt his bones, whatever. And the doctors prescribed, it's very important to strengthen his bones, because after the fall, that he drink milk. Well, this goes back to during the war of 1948 here in Israel. And in Yerushalayim at the time, it was very, very hard, close to impossible to get milk. It wasn't like you just go to the store and buy a bag of milk. It was very hard to come by. But it was very necessary to, for his health. So the family did whatever they could to get a hold of some milk. And with a lot of effort, they got themselves a bag of milk, a liter of milk. So they, they gave him they poured it into this thing, heated it up a little bit, whatever, gave him some to drink. And so he drank some. And yet they don't drink every whatever an hour, so he had to drink a little bit more. So he drank his first cup of milk, okay. In the meantime, the family had left the milk uncovered in the pot, and they had, took their mind off it, did what they did. They came back, and they saw they left it uncovered. Now they knew that Rav Yisr Zalman was very, very makpid on the Isser of Gilui, right, of a liquid being left, a drink being left uncovered. Since a danger, there might be snakes that might drink from it, whatever. And he was very, very makpid, even though most people today are not makpid when it comes to other beverages besides wine or whatever, when it comes to gilui. But he was very makpid on all beverages. And they didn't know what to do. Similar shaila. Should we tell him that, listen, the milk was left on uncovered and nobody was around, and in which case he's probably not going to drink it? Or should we not tell him about it and just give it to him to drink? So they decided they're going to ask a shaila. They went to the rav of the shchuna, where they live, and the rav told them, you shouldn't tell him, and just, that was left open, and give it to him because it's a shaila pikuach nefesh, he needs it for his health, whatever. So it's better not to tell him, just give it to him. He doesn't have to know that it was left uncovered. Okay, so they listened, and they heated up the gas, and they put the pot of milk, because by now it's cooled off, and he needed his next cup of milk, which he has to, it was important that he drank it warm. So they put it on the gas. And in the meantime, there was a knock on the door, and the person goes to the door to answer the door. In the meantime, they kind of forgot about the milk, and as one knows, if you leave milk on the fire a little bit too long, the whole thing gushes over. And that's what happened over here. All the milk boiled over, was all over the floor, no more milk. So they took it from a sign. It was obviously Yiri Av Yasid, and Hashem over here was taking care of Mr. Zalman's Ratzon. He knew he wouldn't want to drink it, didn't want to drink it, so Hashem made sure that he was not going to drink it. But it's interesting, the end of the story, because they told him what happened. They said, you know, well, we'll be honest with you. You know, the milk was left uncovered, and we went and asked the Shaila, though, and we were told that we should give it to you anyways, and it boiled over, and see? So you can see how much Hashem loves you and protects you, wants to do your Ratzon. So Rav Yisrael Zalman started crying. So they said, crying, you know, why is he crying? You should be happy, you know. He said, you should be happy. You see that Hashem loves you, wants to do your Ratzon. So why are you crying? So he says, Dafka, because of that I'm crying. He said, because the fact I see openly how Kosh Baruch Hu, you know, takes care of me, whatever, that gives me all the more responsibility that maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing enough, because see, Hashem is, you know, so close to me. Maybe I'm not as close to Hashem as He is close to me. Maybe I'm not living up to my status of somebody that Hashem takes care of so closely. So maybe I'm not doing my thing. As unlike many of us, we would pat ourselves on the back. He took this as a sign that he has to work on himself all that much more. So that's our one lesson, as the main lesson, though, being, as we've seen throughout the Shia tonight, the importance of a Melis Batorah and the how much effort a person has to be put in. And we have to say, Matayim Magia Maisaila Maisei Avosai, when will our, maybe we're not holding on these levels yet, but these are levels that we have to aspire to, and with Hashem, Hashem should help us arrive at these levels, and then a return near of Yaseh, Hashem will do our Ratzon and bring us Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhirav Yameinu.